such a presence of the Lord with us. And I would like you to pray this prayer. If you don't know it, but I hope the majority of you do, Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Matthew 6, 9 to 13. And it simply says, please join me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that prayer. That just confirmed. I just wanted to talk about the Lord's Prayer. And someone prayed that at the beginning when folks just began to pray. It's called the Lord's Prayer because it was given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. And it was in response to a request from the disciples where they asked, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. It's not a children's prayer. It is a prayer for believers, disciples of Jesus Christ. And only really gets its full meaning when it's in that kind of context, as a disciple who prays, who's in relationship with the living God. It's a prayer that we can use on its own. There's nothing wrong with praying that prayer on its own, on a daily basis. There's an early Christian document, which was in the first century, called the Didache. And it's one of the earliest documents of practice of the early church. And in there, there's, through the apostles, passing on the teaching of Jesus to the church. And in there is the Lord's Prayer in its fullness. And they used to pray it three times each day, different parts of the day. That was their normal practice. It's worth noting that having set times is just as important, just as relevant as feeling the urge to pray, feeling the desire to pray. Because disciplined prayer makes sure that you do it. If it's all left to spontaneity, then there'll be times when you do it, then there'll be times that you don't, because you don't feel like it. And so there's nothing wrong with disciplined prayer and gathering times with the Lord. So we can use that prayer as it stands, or we can use it as an inspiration as to how we should pray. Because in that prayer, there's seven petitions that are said in the context of that prayer. And so it's important. It's important. And I would encourage you to read it. If you don't do it regularly, and if you don't know it by heart, learn it by heart. Because it's good to have in your armory. I remember back in my childhood, and quite common here in the UK was for all public meetings to end with the Lord's Prayer. I don't know if any of you remember that. To end with the Lord's Prayer. All official meetings taking place in the town hall or in the square ended with the Lord's Prayer. Sadly, that doesn't happen now because the priority has not been given to Christianity. But because that used to happen, it used to fill me with a bit of awe about this prayer, about connecting with God. It really felt like we were connecting with God when we said this prayer together. And it used to send a shiver down my spine as a child. In Exodus 3:5, Moses heard the voice of God from the burning bush. And the voice of God said, do not come any closer. Take off the sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And when we think of the Old Testament, I think that phrase, do not come any closer, summarizes the God-man relationship that existed at that time, where God was out there. He was big. He was massive. He was someone who we couldn't connect with. We just had to bow in awe before him. The awesomeness, the holiness of God. No one could see God and live, because it was Isaiah who cried, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. Moses could only come so close to the Holy One. And the temple was not built primarily as a place of worship, but it was built as the dwelling place of God in the Holy of Holies. The people worshipped outside of the Holy of Holies, and only the priest was allowed in to make sacrifice. But it was that sense of God is huge, he's awesome, he's holy, and therefore unapproachable. But then Jesus came. Hallelujah. Jesus came, and with his sacrifice on the cross, the temple veil, the curtains, which were thicker and more dense than these curtains, was ripped in two as the ground shook and the earthquake happened. And symbolically, it stood for the fact that that veil had been torn away. The Holy of Holies, where God dwelt, was now open to mankind to have real relationship with the living God. Jesus was able to say, here am I and the children God has given to me. And so now when we think of the Lord's Prayer through Jesus and thanks to Jesus, it is not to someone just who is big and awesome. He is awesome, by the way. Amen. He is holy. That's what makes him who he is. But the fact is, when we come into relationship, he has made us holy, set apart. That's what it means. Set apart, different from others, set apart for him. So when we come to say this prayer, it's about a relationship that we have been able to enter into, whereas before we were shut out. Matthew 11:27, Jesus says this, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And that is to little children. Children who believe with a childlike faith. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. People who come with the faith of a child and just believe. Amen. And so we say, our Father. Not to someone who's too big, too holy, too awesome to have relationship with, but to someone who has laid down his life for us and brought us into relationship with God, our Father. In the Old Testament, when Moses used to approach God, God revealed himself as I Am. And there were lots of names for God that were given as God revealed himself more and more to people. El Elyon, the Most High. El Olam, the Everlasting God. El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Adonai, Lord, Master, Ruler. Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God. Jehovah Jireh, the Provider. Jehovah Rapha, the Healer. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Jehovah Ra, the Lord our shepherd. And so we could go on. God revealed himself time after time in different ways as people began to get to know God in a more personal way. And in the New Testament, Jesus, the Son of God, which again is more personal, relational. He spoke of the Father as You tell me, Louise. Papa. I don't think that's in the scriptures, actually. But Abba is in the scriptures. But the meaning is Papa. It's that intimate. It's that relational that we can actually call our father Daddy. No, when my dad was alive, that was the relationship. He was my dad. Yes, officially my father, but more intimately my dad. God is our father, but more intimately, he's Abba. And this is what happened through Christ. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in according with his good pleasure and will. We have been brought into a relationship with the living God. And with that, prayer to our Father should develop a number of things. The desire to become like him. Amen? The desire to become like him. Now, although we are created and were created in God's image, we fell away through our sin. And that's why Jesus had to come to buy us back and to bring us back into relationship by paying the price. And so we respond to him. Now, prior to the 50s, the main model for a young man was his father. And so he would aim to dress like him. He would give the lead in that kind of stuff. I know that in this church I'm a bit of a fashion icon. I know that people want to dress like me and stuff. But you know, that father figure for some is our God. For all who know Jesus Christ, for all who know the Lord, he becomes our father. He becomes our model. He becomes one we want to be like him. Amen? It also inspires a trusting heart. Our Father, I trust you. I trust you as a father who's someone who cares for his children. Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And then it says, before that, our Father, which doesn't speak primarily of possession of God. I don't possess God. I can't say, okay, you're my God, end of story. No, it's not that kind of relationship. When we say our Father, it speaks of the fact of relationship. This is my God. So when David was able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. First and foremost, it speaks of relationship, the relationship that he had with the Father, with God. The Lord, who some of you have heard about, speaking to his writers, has been out there, but I'm telling you, my God. The Lord is my shepherd. Are you in relationship with the living God? Can you truly say, he is my Father? He is my Father. I have that relationship with the living God. It also looks a bit to the future. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God. He will be my son. That Father-God relationship is there, which gives us hope for the future, that he will take care of us and provide for us for what is to come. Do you know that God has given an inheritance to you? To all who believe and trust in him, the grave is not the end. Heaven is our goal. We have an inheritance to look forward to. Life doesn't end. It carries on. And when that time comes, either when Jesus comes back or when we pass on, we'll be free from the rigors of sin, free from ill health, free from the things that fell in this fallen world. And we'll be free to know him in his total fullness, devoid of sin and its consequences. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd, says David. and we can say, Our Father, which art in heaven. It speaks of our Father's majesty, his transcendence, his holiness. It speaks of the dwelling place where we can't describe what heaven is. The simplest, best way we can describe heaven is where God is. And so if he dwells on earth, that's where we'll be. In his presence. Now, I don't know what that day is going to be like. I am praying that the joy... I think someone did a wonderful picture. Well, Helen did a wonderful picture of a greeting between a child and its parent. And massive big hug. And that's the picture in my mind at the moment. I'm praying that when I see Jesus, that's what's going to happen. There's going to be a running into his arms. The one who I've loved and I've served and I've sought to follow. I know I'm not perfect. Amen, are you? We're not perfect, but he's done the work and therefore he's worthy of us to run into his arms. That's what he wants. He wants children. And my only prayer is that he will be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Our Father, which art in heaven, our ultimate destination. For this is what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and lofty place, and also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. When we receive Jesus, he comes in by his spirit. And we can say, truly, as the song says, oh, 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 heaven is in my heart. Do you know that one? Oh, 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 heaven is in my heart. Yeah? It's true. Because of the deposit of Christ in our lives, that door is now open. And it's not because we are above anybody else, that we are better than anybody else. It's simply because we have acknowledged that we are sinners and acknowledge what Christ has done in paying the price and open our hearts and our lives to him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy. He makes us holy. He makes us holy. It's literally one day I was in rags, and then the next day, having met Jesus, I am clothed in righteousness. It's as if you saw me next week and I came in rich robes, jewelry. I came as if I was royalty. And you say, what has gone on with this guy? Jesus is what's gone on with me. Amen. He's clothed me with righteousness. He's made me holy. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let me just simply say as we finish, we then pray, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth, as it is in heaven. In heaven, sin has been eradicated. The fallen angels have gone. Satan has gone. And therefore, there is perfect harmony and obedience to the Father. We're not in that environment here on earth. The earth has fallen. And it's been tainted by sin. We have been tainted by sin. But because of Jesus, we can say, Lord, please let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And for that, how is that going to happen? Does it all depend on me? Thank goodness, no. He has given us his own Holy Spirit to have the strength, to have the power, to have the wisdom, to have the guidance of God, so that we can live a pleasing life to him. so that his will be done here on a fallen earth as it is in perfection in heaven. And then he's even provided a get-out clause. Amen. If you do sin, confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Keep your slate clean. Don't let it build up. Come to him regularly. Keep the pathway open. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day when we remember you in particular as our Father and the wealth that that means to us. We thank you and praise you that you have adopted us as your children. We owe so much to you. And Lord, we simply pray that prayer this morning. Let your will be done in my life, as it is in heaven, where there is perfect obedience, perfect trust, perfect union with Father and Child. And Lord, by the help of you, Holy Spirit, in our lives, help us to overcome anything, any temptation, any sin that would seek to infiltrate, put a barrier between us in our relationship. Father, hear this prayer. We thank you and praise you this morning as our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. If there's anyone just here at this point in time, you just need something from God, just stand where you are, just as we say a closing prayer. Could be for healing. It could be for circumstance. It could be that you just want to say, here I am, Lord. You see me in all my fullness. You see me, all the nooks and crannies, all the good and the bad. Here I am. Please, Lord, accept me and use me. Or it could be for healing, for you or for a loved one. If that's you, just stand where you are. I'm just going to pray a prayer over you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Father, this morning, I bring these brothers and sisters before you who in faith have stood. And you know what it is, either healing, either fresh commitment, either circumstance where there seems to be no breakthrough. They need an answer to prayer, either for themselves or for their loved ones or colleagues. Or Lord, they may be just standing just to receive more of you. Whatever it is, you know. Simply ask, oh God, Father, remember your children at this time and extend your hand into that circumstance and bring about a miracle, a deliverance. Oh Father, thank you for their faith. In Jesus' name, receive your gift from the Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you. There will be refreshments and stuff.